You run real fast and you play real hard. Sometimes you just need a nap. You give your all and you give your best. Sometimes you just need a nap. Aren't you glad God never takes a nap? Aren't you glad God is always awake for you? God is not a sleeper, he's a wide awake keeper. Aren't you glad God never takes a nap? Aren't you glad God never takes a nap? You go to bed at night and you can't get to sleep. Aren't you glad God's awake with you? The lights go out and you get kind of scared. Aren't you glad God's awake with you? Aren't you glad God never takes a nap? Aren't you glad God is always awake for you? God is not a sleeper, he's a wide awake keeper. Aren't you glad God never takes a nap? Aren't you glad God never takes a nap? No matter where you go, day or night, God is looking after you. You are never alone or on your own. God is looking after you. Aren't you glad God never takes a nap? Aren't you glad God is always awake for you? God is not a sleeper, he's a wide awake keeper. Aren't you glad God never takes a nap? Aren't you glad God never takes a nap? I'm glad God never takes a nap. That's it. God's a wide awake keeper, an ever-present help. Now, the name of the CD is Fix My Heart, and that's taken from Psalm 57. Fix my heart, oh, fix my heart, and I will sing, give praise unto you. But folks, unless the heart's fixed through the working of the Holy Spirit, where we're looking unto Jesus, not looking to ourselves or the world, we're not going to give God the praise that is just due. And great is our God, and greatly to be praised. I want you to take your Bibles and turn. Well, get ready. I'm going to Isaiah chapter 41 is where I'm going to end up as far as the passage here tonight. In the midst of this, this very trying time, Pastor Bill Agerdahl, I was at Grace Baptist in Columbia here this morning, and he preached out of Philippians chapter 4, in whatsoever state you're in there with to be content. And he actually used my situation or scenario as an example. Because there was 3 years there, folks, I thought I'd never preach and sing again. I thought my ministry was done. Now, I know a lot of guys quit in their 60s. The world seems to think retirement is somewhere the magic 60 to 65 year of age. But folks, I don't see retirement in the Word of God. I see retread and go on. But here's what happens. We complain about what we don't have instead of using what we've got left. Don't we do that as older people? Instead of saying, hey, God, I can't run anymore, but I can still walk. Or I can't sing, but I can still serve. You know, I can't do this, but you know what? I'm going to use what I have to bring glory and honor to your name. And I think that keeps a lot of people, even younger people, from serving the way they're supposed to serve sacrificially for Jesus Christ. Now, my pet phrase when everybody asked me, how you doing, Brother Maynard? Because they could tell I was disappointed. I don't think I was ever at the point of depression, but I was very discouraged along the way. But here's my conclusion. How can you be upset when you know it's God's will for your life? Boom. That's a mic drop, isn't it? Yeah. How can you be upset? Yeah, you got cancer. God didn't go, oh, man, they've got cancer. No, God knew it was coming. God knows what's going to happen in the midst of it. And God's grace is sufficient, whether it's a throat issue, it's cancer, financial, relationship, folks. God is an ever-present help. And folks, how can we be so upset when we know it's God's will for our lives? Now, when you go through these times of discouragement, you look for rally verses, don't you? I do, at least. I go for those nuggets that encourage my heart. And how about this one? Romans 8:37 says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. You know what that means literally? That we are super conquerors. I don't know. Maybe I'm too much of a superhero guy, but I just like that thought, a super conqueror. Through Jesus Christ, we can have victory and more victory. And here's a good statement. We need not fear life or death or things present or things to come because Jesus Christ loves us and gives us the victory. Then we go on down in that passage in verse 31. Here's the right perspective. If God be for us, who can be against us? Now we know who the enemy is. The devil is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. What's he looking to do? He's looking to kick a slats out of our lives of faithful service for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But folks, remember, the devil's a liar. He's the father of liars. He's looking to discourage you, distract you, and deter you from faithfully serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when you really get a hold of the fact that we are more than conquerors, we are super conquerors, that'll put some boldness in your step. And again, some Heidi O'Silver charge into your life before God and before man. Now, not in an arrogant fashion by any stretch of the imagination, but confident and bold because of the power and wherewithal of the Lord Jesus Christ that's available to be parked in us and work through our lives. Now, is this just me? Don't most Christians live a life that looks so I'm a loser, or a life of defeat instead of victory? And folks, what brings a loser's mentality to our lives rather than the winning testimony that we should have in Christ Jesus? Folks, I've read the whole book. We win. We are on the winning side. That should excite you every day and light you up to go forth boldly for the Lord Jesus Christ. 365 times in the Word of God, it tells us, fear not. How about that? That's one for every day of the year. Because, folks, fear will slow us down, if not stop us, in our faithfulness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, one of the fear not verses that's a favorite of mine, and if you read your Bible, it's a favorite of yours, is here in Isaiah 41 and verse 10. Now, let me tell you how God used this in my heart. When I was at a rather low point in the midst of this voice problem, I just wanted to go crawl under a rock. Are you with me here? I just really didn't want to go to Sunday school, but where did I need to be the most, folks? In God's house with God's people, receiving the Word of God. See, the flesh wants to put you out of ear range of thus saith the Lord and the promises thereof and therein. The devil wants to keep you away from those people who give you a hug and a word of encouragement. He wants you to hide behind your fearful fleshly mentality and miss the victory that's available in Jesus. Here's the verse, folks. This will preach. Look down with me at verse 10. It says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Now, folks, let me ask you a question. What's going to happen to you and me if we don't buy up this particular promise that's available through the power and working of God? Well, fear is going to do its destructive thing to you. Let me give you several things that will happen if you go to fear instead of fear not. I'd write this down because you may not be getting kicked in the teeth right now, but if I know the devil like I know the devil, he's coming down to a neighborhood near you. And he's going to do everything he can to keep you out of this church and keep you out of the workforce for the cause of Jesus Christ. First of all, fear can paralyze you. It can make you stop in your tracks or have you go back instead of forward and no progress in your life. And folks, can I tell you this can happen secular or sacred? You know, how many opportunities have people missed along the way with a job opportunity because they were trusting in their flesh instead of going forward with the door that God had opened up? And of course, we know that happens spiritually all the time. You could have taught a Sunday school class. You could have sung in the choir. You could have won that, you could have at least given the person that you're talking to the plan of salvation, but what happened? The flesh kicked into working order and kept you out of biblical usability to again do the work of Jesus Christ. So fear can paralyze you. Secondly, fear can cause you to miss opportunities of fulfillment in given responsibilities, secular or sacred, just like I mentioned. And number three, fear can cause you to live in defeat instead of victory and miss out on what God can bring to your life and through your life. Now, folks, you don't have to be a Bible scholar to come up with this outline of this verse. So here's what we're going to look at. And I'm not going to go real long, okay? But I want you to write these things down in your Bible because, folks, whether I'm giving the instruction of verse 10 or you are, here's what's wrapped up in this passage. First of all, we're going to look at the presence of God. Then we'll see the power of God, and then the promises of God. Can you see that already in this passage? Let me go again. The presence of God, the power of God, and the promises of God. If you do any commentary work on this passage, they're going to come around with certain words that will identify this verse in this fashion because that's what's presented. So let's go to the presence of God. As I mentioned, with God never naps, God is an ever-present help. Now, I don't know if this lights you up like it does me in anything I am for God, but he says he will never, I love that word, never leave me nor forsake me. And that's not just for evangelist Mike Maynard. That's for every teenager in this room. That's every preteen. That's every adult. Whatever age or stage you are in your life and living and presentation of who you are, guess what? The Lord is an ever-present help even for you. Even in the midst of soul winning endeavor, and folks, we're not real good at this. You hear me? That fear factor just eats our lunch when it comes to helping people know Jesus as personal Savior. But in Matthew 28, 20, it says, "Lo, I am with you." How often, folks? Always. And to what extent? Even to the end of the world. Amen. And folks, that's an always forever promise. Now, growing up, did you have a fear of going to maybe the dentist? Did anybody enjoy it? Is anybody really, unless you like the wacko gas or something, I don't know why you'd enjoy it. But I, you know, kids, let me give you something real scary. Teenage girls, you want something real yucky and gunky and ew? You ready for this? Whatever. You listen to me, ma'am? Are you all right? Don't be distracted by that guy with the hair that I wish I had. Okay, so no man should have that thick and nice of hair. Not that I want him to go bald, but it would be pretty funny. Okay, so now here's the thing. When I was your age, the dentist didn't use gloves. Yes, do you all old folks, you know where I'm going here. I can still smell my dentist's hands. That's how disgusting. And he had monster gorilla hands. You know, man, they just dig like they're going for gold or something. And it stench just makes me nauseated. But how comforting was it when you go to the dentist or do a recital or some, you know, Christmas program, and mom and dad are right there to encourage you? That's the kind of warmth. That's the kind of comfort. That's the kind of boldness that comes because your ever-present God is there to carry you through, to give it what it takes to get it done in the way that it needs to be done. So the Lord is that ever-present help. Now, again, fear not. Why? Because God is always there for you. Now, here's the problem. It comes when you start listening to yourself instead of trusting the Lord. And if you want the faith to make that fear not a working reality, you need to buy up His ever-present fellowship and quit trying to do stuff on your own. I'll just pull my bootstraps up and I'll get through it and I'll get it done. A little sweat and toil of life. You know what? You're choosing to lose and you're just setting yourself up to be knocked down. How much can we do apart from the intervening power of our wonderful God, folks? Jesus says, apart from me, you could do what? Nothing. But in our pride-filled lives, you think, I got this. And you know what? God teaches the lesson. Well, go ahead. And good, just suffer the bumps and bruises and the potholes of your own fleshly wherewithal, but you don't have to go there and do that. I'm there as an ever-present help. That's what it's talking about. Fear thou not, for I am with thee, and be not dismayed. Now that's where we come into the power of God, the presence of God, the power of God. What does be not dismayed mean? Don't get all worked up and consumed with worry. Here's an old phrase, making a mountain out of a molehill. And folks, what is the monster that looks to devour us? Ready? Look at this. It's the what if monster. What if this happens? What if you do sound like Tiny Tim after the procedure? What if you have to do a movie with Katharine Hepburn, you know, in warble voice? Yeah, whatever. And you know those thoughts go through your brain. But you just say, Lord, you've ordered this up and you make no mistakes. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to obey you. And God, I'm going to rely on what you can do. Now, God says, hey, I am your God. Is that comforting or what? He says, be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Folks, this is Elohim. And it speaks of God's greatness, of his divine power as the creator, the sovereign ruler, the one and only supreme being. Folks, what is this? Absolute power over everything. Oh, not my problems, Brother Maynard. You don't understand the husband I'm stuck with. I know some of your husbands, and God's grace is still sufficient, okay? I've been here enough. I know the battles and woes that you face and you fight. We know what pastor's wife has to go through. Can we all have an amen? We know the battles that woman faces on a daily basis. She's going, amen, Brother Maynard, preach it. But folks, absolute power over everything. Everything. It's like God saying, hey, I got this. Hey, chill, calm, breathe. Have you ever been there? You just feel like you can't take another breath. The pressure just seems to be so great. The what if monster is just on you like a herd of turtles. And it just, I mean, it's just eating you up one side and down the other. God, whoa. Hey, I got this. I have the wherewithal. You can't. But you can do all things through me if you'll just plug into the power source and let me do what only I can do. So ask yourself, can God be trusted? Answer me, folks. Yes or no? Come on, talk to me. Can God be trusted? Then how come we don't do it? Is God a liar? No. Then how come you're in a fetal position over in the corner not serving Jesus because of the fear factor? And I'm not talking about eating bugs or something gross like they do on TV. I'm just talking about everyday life hassles and heartaches that come on all of our lives, folks. It's because you go to fear instead of buying up the presence of God and the victory of fear not. So how do we defeat fear? Let me give you the last one, the promises of our God. Look back at this. Just underscore these. He says, I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Folks, it doesn't say, if I can just work you into my schedule. You know, I'm so bothered with these other people. You know all the things going over there in, you know, Iran, Iraq. I'm just so busy over there. I don't have time to mess with your little problems. You know what? He's got enough to handle your problems too. You know, I use this as an illustration sometimes. I preach this here. I might get to that in just a moment. But you remember with Asa, when he had the zillion guys coming down to put a hurting on him and his little nation? What was the phrase he said? It is nothing with thee to help, with them that have many or no power. And he said the right thing, help! And God, well, guess what God did? God intervened on his behalf. God says he will strengthen you. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Look with me. Let's take time to do this. I'm going like Speedy Gonzalez on steroids here. But go down with me to Psalm 27. Let me show you some verses here to encourage your heart. Some of you look like you're ready to go home already, but just endure me a few more minutes here if you would. Psalm 27 and verse 1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Here we go. Whom shall I be afraid? Look now with me at verse 14. He says, wait on the Lord. That's kind of the problem we face. We want to wait on our own wherewithal instead of God's presence and power. But he says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Quit sucking your thumb. Quit staring at your shoes. Look unto me. And it says, he shall, not maybe, shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Then go to chapter Psalm 28 and go down with me to a cluster of verses here. Let me start reading in verse 7. It says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him. It says, I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth. And my song will I praise him. Verse 8, the Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointed. And boy, it just goes on. But let me give you one more in verse 11 of Psalm 29. It says, the Lord will give strength. unto his people. Now, people, who be the people? Now, it's the people of God, children of Israel. But, folks, we be the people. You hear me? You're a child of the king. We're part of the family of God. And yeah, I understand the context. I understand how this is written, folks. But this same promise is for you as the child of God. Your heavenly Father says, this was for you. Look at it again. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. When is there no peace? When there's no looking unto Jesus. When there's looking to circumstances, there's looking at man instead of looking to the one who is the source of victory, our wonderful Savior and friend, the Lord Jesus Christ. Go back to our text, would you please? Isaiah chapter 41, and let's finish this out here. He says, I will strengthen thee, I will help thee. And folks, what a blessed, beautiful picture we have here. He says, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Can I have an amen from the crowd, please? Folks, get that picture. Just picture yourself in the almighty hand of God. And folks, nothing's more powerful. Nothing can bring victory. Nothing can bring forth what you're looking for like the power, presence, and promises of the blessed God that we stand before and who seeks to intervene on our behalf. Psalm 46 and verse 1 says, God is a very present help. Now, folks, again, we can go into the loser's category. We can be a nervous wreck. We can be fruitless in our ministries for God. You can let whatever you're going through be the dominating factor of what you do next, or you can be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might, and quit again being consumed with what you can't do, and choose to be faithful with what God has still entrusted unto you to bring glory and honor to Him. Let me give a personal testimony here because, folks, this is the battle. When I did this CD, you can tell even when I sing, there's still a gravelly voice there. I just have trouble getting that clean voice that I once had. You know, when I told folks that I couldn't sing or preach anymore, of course, my real irritating friend said, well, we never thought you could sing or preach to begin with. That's the kind of friends I got. But folks, I tell folks I'm kind of the Joe Cocker of fundamentalism. That's for you old hippie people. Joe Cocker. So I'm going to use what I have, the best I can do, to give all I can for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what this challenge is for you. But you got to keep yourself out of the fear category. And through the power and working of God, just choose to fear not. Now, folks, how can you conquer fear? Let's go back to the passage. Through the presence, the power, and the promises of our living God. And let me remind you what I started with. If God be for us, who can be against us? And I'm going to leave you with a statement from a friend of mine by name Ron Hamilton. He wrote a song called, How Can I Fear? Y'all familiar with that? Let me give you a reminder. How can I fear? Jesus is near. He ever watches over me. Worries all cease. He gives me peace. How can I fear with Jesus? The ever-present help that makes no mistakes. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for this time of fellowship you've blessed us with. Lord, thank you for the faithfulness of this people. Some new faces out there that I don't remember. A lot of folks that have been here a lot of years, like I've been here a lot of years. Lord, I'm glad they've stayed by the stuff in the school as well as in the church. But Lord, I know the devil's after them like nobody's business. I know there's a constant attack on people who choose to do things your way. God, especially undergird these folks who have stepped out by faith to serve sacrificially on your behalf. But Lord, help the rest of the folks realize we're all supposed to be that way. We're all supposed to say no to the flesh, yes to God, and be that here am I, Lord, send me type of testimony for your honor and glory. So Lord, whatever is holding an individual back from serving in this church, to being a soul winner, to be a discipler of men, to be again that servant of God that you've saved and called all of us to be, God, break them free from that flesh they're parked in. And God, no matter what their circumstances may be, no matter what difficulties they're facing, Lord, help them to get their eyes off of themselves. And again, whatever deters them and distracts them, and start the right habit of looking unto Jesus as the author as well as finisher of their faith. Lord, what a great season we have before us to tell people about Jesus. They're tender-hearted. They're in a joyous countenance and mindset. Most folks are, at least. Lord, help us to buy up those open door opportunities to boldly pronounce the truths of Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Thank you again, Lord, for this time you've blessed us with. Thank you for the encouragement, for your wonderful word of God. We just praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.